Hi, NSF Alumni Association members. To echo to what Joe's just said, we're delighted to have you here. My name's Ron Seaver, and I'm the president of the National Sports Forum, and I'd like to welcome you to our June NSF Alumni Association monthly conference call. So before we get started, if I may, I'd like to ask all of you who are on the phone with us right now, if you wouldn't mind, please mute your phone at this time so as not to have the thing go off and distract others from enjoying the call, if you wouldn't mind. So thank you. And with that piece of business done, let's get down to business. As you are now well aware, last year we started the NSF Alumni Association conference call series. Every 3 months, we've been hosting a live conference call involving a variety of experts that are exclusively selected for our members to showcase revenue-generating topics that we feel our members can put to good use. So we're hoping that you will steal and duplicate a lot of great ideas you get, including today's. And we kicked these calls off a little over a year ago with our longtime forum friend, Amy Jo Martin, discussing the latest trends in social media. And then we followed that up a few months later in July with a session with Mike Stanfield of the Saints and Todd Parnell, president and general manager of the Richmond Squirrels, on ticket renewals, getting ticket renewals. And then we finished off last year with a session, a great session, with Dan Rossetti, Bill Gertine, and Ron Conterno on getting your prospects to yes. And so far this year, bring you up to speed, we kicked off 2011 with an hour-long call on customer service with the legend of customer service, Pete Weinmiller of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I tell you all this because, well, it's very possible, I know, that you've either joined us in midstream or you might have missed a call or two along the way, and you'd be interested in getting a copy of these really helpful interviews, which, if you would like, that's not a problem. We're able to post the MP3s of our quarterly call to our website, to our Alumni Association website, and we'll be able to do that today as well. But as Joe tells me, we're only allowed to do that for a limited amount of time. So, for example, today you'll be able to enjoy today's call, and if there's other people in your organization that you want to bring into it after you've heard some things and you want to play it for them, you'll, as an Alumni Association member, just use your password and your code, go on up there, go to the Alumni Association board, and you'll be able to click on the link and you'll be able to download Brian Gaynor's call today, but that's only going to be up there for about 10 days, only about 10 days access before it disappears. However, as I mentioned, the other calls that we have to date, if you want a copy of any of these calls, I talked to Joe about it, and he said all you need to do is call or email him here at the office, and he'll get you a copy of any of the quarterly calls that you might have missed. And for those of you that might not have his information, you can reach Joe via email at joe@sports-forum.com. Again, that's Joe, J-O-E, @sports-forum.com. Or just give him a call here at the office at 619-469-4101. His extension is 205. So let's get into today's call then, shall we? For our spring quarter, 2011, we decided to take a deep dive into the topic of sponsorship trends. Now, all of us on the line here, we're all well aware of the importance of attracting a variety of sponsors to each of our respective businesses, be it team, property, event, in order to enhance our bottom line. That makes perfect sense. And let's face it, once you have them on board, you certainly want to do everything you can to ensure that your sponsors want to stay. And so to successfully accomplish this, you're going to have to ensure that you're delivering exceptional experience and a tangible return on investment, a couple of things that our guests today will be talking about. Accomplishing this is an art and it's a science, which is why we are delighted to have Brian Gaynor with us, sports marketer for GMR Marketing and the founder of the award-winning blog and newsletter Partnership Activation. He's with us on the line today as our expert. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing very, very well and looking forward to this next hour with you. And before I start peppering you with questions, my friend, let me start, if I may, by giving a little background on you to those folks who are on the call that may not know Mr. Gaynor. So I can tell you, first of all, I've known Brian for, gosh, several years now. He's been a part of our forum family for probably 2 or 3 years, and he is a passionate sports marketer. He's got agency experience as well as extensive background working for the NFL, NFL Europe, and collegiate athletics. So he brings the whole package on both sides of the table. Now, on the agency front, as I mentioned earlier, he's been a valued member of GMR Marketing for these past 4 years, overseeing such corporate sponsorship efforts with clients such as Comcast, Lowe's, and ING, amongst others. So he definitely knows what he's talking about. Now, to this, for many of you might know Brian not as part of GMR, but as the founder of Partnership Activation, which is a leading resource for all of us in the sports business. Partnership Activation showcases sports marketing and sponsorship trends, be it best practices and creative activation tactics going on throughout the industry. And if you haven't read Partnership Activation, let me tell you, it's not just good, it's must reading. It's really good. In fact, his site was just recently named Best Sports Business Blog by thebusinessofsports.com. So certainly congratulations and kudos to you, Brian. Again, Best Sports Business Blog by thebusinessofsports.com. And to this, Brian also publishes the monthly Partnership Activation 2.0 newsletter that is distributed now to some estimated 8,000 sports business professionals across 65 countries. So one of the things, I read it every month. We're going to talk to you about how you can get it. But one of the things that I don't, that if you're like me, that you like the best, I always love reading in 2.0 is his Rising Stars initiative, that where Brian recognizes and honors several of the sports business professionals all under the age of 30 who are already making a notable impact on our industry early in their careers. So as if this wasn't all enough, in addition to his responsibilities at GMR, his blog, his newsletter, Brian has been featured as a guest writer for Darren Revelle's CNBC Sports Biz column and is an active member of the Ohio University Sports Administration Alumni Advisory Board. He was recently recognized as a leading contributor in sports business social media and will be serving as the keynote speaker at the upcoming 2011 NACMA convention in Orlando, Florida. And one other piece of information I just found out, he and his wife are due to have, will this be your first child in December?
Yep, this will be the first.
This will be the first. So obviously, Brian, a lot going on in your world. He is certainly the king of activation coverage. So we're delighted to have you with us. We look forward to your insights. And Brian, as we start tackling, tell me a little bit about the vision, how you got started, how Partnership Activation got started, a little bit about how you got to where you are today.
Great, will do. Just to kick things off, you know, it's really an honor to be here speaking in front of, you know, all the members. I've been a huge fan of the forum. I really feel that it's the best conference and best association out there. So it really is an honor to be speaking with the group here today. But to get things kicked off, I started Partnership Activation back in February 2008. Just started working at GMR Marketing, and it's really ingrained in our culture at GMR to really identify best practices and think out of the box for our clients to deliver unconventional solutions. And so when doing so, I just found that there weren't many resources out there that I could go to for creative thinking or out-of-the-box thinking. There was really just Sports Business Journal or IEG. So I looked to create a website that shared a lot of the best practices. I found that, you know, a lot of times folks that worked in the NFL or minor league baseball only really thought in that realm. So a guy that worked in the NFL looked for best practices in the NFL. But he wasn't necessarily looking for that next great idea in tennis or in golf. And so I looked to just create a website that shared these best practices and really focused on the international realm. You know, SBJ did a great job highlighting a lot of, you know, different new projects and things going on in the States, but I felt like there's a lot more out there, and a lot of people gravitated towards media content. So just, again, look to create a site that shared a lot of best practices and would help me network with others in the industry outside of GMR. Since 2008, as Ron mentioned, Partnership Activation has really evolved from not only a website to the Partnership Activation 2.0 newsletter, and then I also try to keep a pretty active Twitter feed. So over the years, I've had the fortune of just connecting with different people that work in the industry, and I've had a lot of folks, you know, just pass along great ideas that, you know, either they're working on with their organizations or that they've seen out in the industry. And the site's, again, really evolved and now goes out to about 8,000 sports business professionals across 65 countries. But again, the vision was really just to share great ideas. You know, since everybody knows in this industry, it's really easy just to steal an idea and replicate it and turn it into a success for your organization. And now I have, you know, plenty of stories to share, like, Some folks at Manchester City FC reached out last week. They saw an article on the site about the Dallas Mavericks distributing playoff tickets that had an augmented reality feature. So they had reached out and wanted to connect with the folks at the Mavericks and then also share some best practices from some of the things that they're doing in the English Barclays Premier League. So as I mentioned, the site's come a long way, and I look forward to connecting with everyone on the call at some point, but thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely. We're delighted to have you here. And I just to do a deeper dive, you mentioned a couple of things just a second ago about where you find, you know, how does the editor pull in all of his information? And you mentioned, of course, a couple of the central publications that are out there, as well as, you know, having roots talking to all kinds of different properties and clubs and sponsors on that end. You know, your resources, when you start looking for things, do you go into this looking for specific topics, specific things to cover? How explain your filter to us.
Yeah, you know, I really use a combination of a number of traditional resources and untraditional or non-traditional resources. And I guess the two primary resources that I use are Flickr and YouTube, which I don't think a lot of people in the business use. Especially with Flickr, you know, it's a photo sharing site that consumers from across the globe post pictures of different events that they go to, their family, whatnot, and it's all easily accessible. So if you get pretty good at searching on Flickr, you can easily search for recent premier events. So from time to time, I'll search, you know, if the Champions League final just took place, I'll search that and look for some interesting content. Or I'll search, you know, pictures from the NBA finals. And I really get a lot of great ideas from Flickr. And again, it's a pretty non-traditional resource, but it allows me to kind of stay on top of different game atmospheres that are going on there, how teams are using their signage, because a lot of times when a consumer will just take a picture of their stadium experience, you can, you know, as a sports marketer, look at that picture and get 5 or 10 takeaways from it, you know, the game atmosphere, where signage is located, conventional brands that are activating within the arena. There's a number of different things that you can pull from photos. So Flickr is probably one of my two primary resources, and the other is YouTube. There's some search functionality on YouTube where you can easily search the most popular videos for the day, the week, and the past month, and you can break it down so you can search for specific teams or brands or arenas. And so I use that to find a lot of the most recent viral hits, but then I also use it to discover, you know, some best practices from the Barclays Premier League that I wouldn't normally find reading a publication like Sports Business Journal or Sports Pro. So those are two non-traditional channels. I rely a lot on my teammates here at GMR Marketing. We're always talking about sharing best practices and different non-traditional things that we've seen in the marketplace. And then also my just network of contacts, whether it be from Ohio University, from working with various teams and organizations. I think pretty much everyone in the industry relies on their network. I also turn to Twitter. I follow the hashtag SportsBiz and sponsorship. And then a number of industry leaders like a Darren Rovell or different marketers like Kern Egan, different marketers across the country to kind of find out what they're discussing or what topics, you know, interest them in real time. And then I turn to, you know, the traditional publications like SBJ, IEG, and Sports Pro Magazine. And it's really just about being alert and actively searching for great ideas. And, you know, when you're reading an article or you're, you know, picking up that SBJ, instead of just passively reading, turning around and being, actively looking for those great ideas that are out there, those trends or new technologies.
Well, and it's great because you're doing all that work. For me, when I'm putting the agenda together, I only have to make one stop, and that's to see what you're writing about, because you've already done all the homework. So a little secret for me is that you're a great resource for us as we're starting to figure out, you know, putting the next year's agenda together for the National Sports Forum. What are the hot trends going on out there, that kind of thing? And so partnership activation is a great stop for us. To find out, like you said, what's the buzz? What are the things going on out there? So putting you on the spot right now, as you're looking out into the industry and in talking about sponsorship trends, what are some of the new trends and technologies that you're closely following right now in the sports space?
Yeah, from a GMR standpoint, I'd say the four big buckets that we're seeing based on, you know, what our clients are interested in or how they're shifting their dollars are really mobile, the digital social sector, cause marketing, and multicultural marketing. So in the mobile sector, some recent stats that came out that just show that mobile usage by consumers has increased 50.1% in the past 2 years. So, of course, these type of stats are going to cause brands that really want to start shifting their dollars to play in this space. So in the mobile space, we're really, you know, following and starting to build out a number of iPad and iPhone apps. So our clients can, you know, further engage fans on site with these interactive devices. We're seeing brands and properties get very involved with social gaming. So when the Boston Celtics are trying to drive all their fans to their Facebook page, instead of just driving them there and having, you know, some discussion taking place on their Facebook wall, they're building out, you know, full games to, you know, get fans there and then also keep them there and then expose them to some other brand advertising. Then you have the geolocation-based services. So the New Jersey Nets have done some projects with Gowalla. And then Manchester City ran a promotion where fans were encouraged to check in on Foursquare when they came to the game to try to get a free T-shirt at the stadium. So just a lot of different areas and new opportunities, especially for brands to play in the mobile space. From the digital social sector, you know, it's really been interesting to see how teams have embraced digital and social here in the past 2 years or so. A lot of teams have, you know, done the dirty work. They've started the Twitter account, started posting content. But, you know, 2011 will really be the year that you know, teams need to take it to the next level by assigning, you know, people to directly oversee their social media efforts and really try to find ways to drive revenue. And I think the New York Jets are a perfect example of that. During the 2011 playoffs, they created some bundled packages that sponsors could take advantage of where fans could sign up to follow every single player on the Jets. But when doing so, they also were signed up automatically for two corporate partners. And then as being a part of that stream, they're then exposed to different messages and promotions from those partners during the playoffs. And I thought that was a great way to tie in corporate partners to your social media efforts. And then from the cause marketing sector, cause marketing has emerged as the hottest sponsorship sector in 2010. It had 6.7% growth. And this will continue in 2011 as more brands try to play in this space and align themselves with the Comans of the world and the Livestrongs and various player charities. And then just finally, the multicultural sector, you know, everyone's been talking about the results from the 2010 census. And, you know, with more platforms like Gold Cup taking place and international soccer teams coming to play here in the States and UFC really expanding its roots and having a strong Hispanic fan base, that would definitely just be another, you know, hot category, at least that we're following from a GMR standpoint.
Sure. No, this is awesome, Matt. Yeah, I'm sorry. Continue.
Oh, no. And then I was just going to say from a technology standpoint, from a team perspective, FanVision and YinzCam are two hot topics that everyone's been, you know, discussing. FanVision is a handheld device that 13 NFL teams offered at their stadiums that fans could use to access highlights, game replays, statistics, all while they're at the game enjoying it. So, you know, teams are really trying to enhance the in-venue experience. And so FanVision has been one example of a way that they can do that. And YinzCam is essentially the same application, but it just serves as an app that fans can download on their phone. So FanVision and YinzCam are really hot from a technology standpoint, as well as QR codes. And augmented reality is another hot topic where the U.S. Open recently created an augmented reality app where fans could walk around the tennis tournament, just point their cell phone at the court, and they'd have a real-time score, find out which players are playing, find out information of where the nearest food court was. So there's all these new apps and mobile devices that are really starting to change the way that fans consume sports at games and then also while watching sports at home.
I'll tell you what, I could end the call right now, and I think everybody got their money's worth here. I mean, that is awesome, Brian. Thank you so much. And, you know, I'll actually be coming back to this to listen to this again because there were, like, probably 12
different ideas right in there of all things that we should be looking at, and we're only a piece into the call. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. That's awesome. And on the sponsorship trend itself, not just the sponsorship trend and what's hot out there, but looking at new categories of sponsors. You cover this obviously in partnership activation. You also deal with it in your role with GMR marketing. Are there any new players in the sponsorship arena? It's interesting. Go back 2 years, and we all noticed that with the recession, the Great Recession, that a lot of the traditional categories clammed up. And you were finding that if you were relying on banking or finance or real estate, you were in trouble. But it did open up hot new categories that we've been noticing that have been popping up. And I wanted to talk to you because I know you report on this. New areas, that industry professionals should be taking note of out there, people that are playing in our vertical now that maybe weren't doing this a year ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah, Ryan, that's great. And you mentioned, we really hit a rough patch here for the past 2 or 3 years, but it really forced us as properties and agencies to really think harder and really work harder to bring new categories and brands into the mix. So I would say there's about five, hot categories right now that all properties should be taking a pretty close look at. First being liquor, and that's really just because a number of the leagues, when the economy started to go down, opened up the floodgates a little bit for more liquor brands to have some exposure in arena. So brands like Captain Morgan are activating pretty heavily with either guerrilla marketing stunts or signage at some venues, and then they have venue destinations at like a Wrigley Field. So liquor is one of the categories. Utilities is another, and this is definitely a fast-growing category. I was just down at Turner Field, and they had a utility company that had a sign out in left field that tied in with the strike zone, and so we've seen a number of new utility companies really starting to play in the sports space. Technology brands, so you'll see a lot of this on the West Coast. The HPs, the Ciscos, the Googles of the world have all started to invest slightly in the sports space in one shape or form, and especially Cisco, as teams look to enhance the technology and the offerings that they have at their venues. Cisco has really become a key player in this area with offering a lot of new innovative services to enhance the fan experience. Foreign brands, as we've started to see more foreign owners come into the States, New Jersey Nets being a great example. So we've seen companies like Li Ning come in to sign on athlete endorsers, then Stoli partnering with the Nets, a vodka company, BBVA, a financial institution out of Spain, becoming an official partner of the NBA. So foreign brands are definitely starting to play in the U.S. space. And then luxury brands. So traditionally, categories like auto, you've had the Fords and the Toyotas. But with the recession, we saw even more luxury brands like Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, BMW start to craft some deals. And I think that'll be here to stay. So those are, I would say, about five of the hot categories that we're currently following in the sports space.
And I wrote them all down. This is great. So, again, when we're looking, you've got the sponsors in there. We've brought them to the table, if you would. And now, of course, we need to activate the sponsorship, which is certainly a tenet that you fully subscribe to. So moving on towards activation, how important in your mind, in your role, in your dual roles, do you see partnership activation, and what types of activation have you seen that have really grabbed your attention in the last 6 months, let's say? So first question is, the role of activation in the total sponsorship dynamic, and then who's doing it well, who's doing some interesting, interesting treatments, if you would, to their sponsorship?
Yeah, personally, I think activation is key. It's the key way to break through the stadium clutter, engage fans on site, and really enhance the fan experience on site and derive full value from your partnerships. As brands look to create holistic programs, it's really key these days that they focus on a multifaceted activation plan. So we're talking about not only activating on site, but also in market, online, through social media or new media. And so it's really key, as properties, if we really want the partnerships to be successful, we really need to encourage the partners to at least spend, at least a dollar of every, you know, a dollar that they spend on the investment towards activation. It's really, really key to bring that partnership to life. And so we're really starting to see brands weave digital and social into everything that they're doing. So focusing all your efforts on maybe a social media play, looking at like a Twitter or Facebook being a great way to complement a lot of what you're doing. You know, drive traffic to your website, drive awareness of your signage or a new campaign you're running on the team Facebook page. We're also seeing a lot of brands offer, you know, truly unique experience and really focus on building partnerships around ownable assets like venue destinations or video on-demand content. That's really proven to be key lately. We're starting to see more of our clients, you know, invest in fewer assets or fewer properties, but ones that they can develop and own on a larger scale. And then, you know, unfortunately, we're starting to see brands try to get a lot more bang for their buck. So trying to make everything that they do blow up from a viral standpoint. So that forces a little pressure on brands or properties even to think out of the box and think of ways that brands can get double the exposure for the same investment spend. And then the last piece, really just hyper-local. We've all seen brands, especially with the geolocation that I referenced earlier, really focusing their efforts on trying to localize and customize a lot of their partnership efforts. And so, you know, when I look at brands out there that are doing a great job, I mean, it's really hard to, you know, pin down one brand for each space, but the Nikes, the Red Bulls, the Gators of the world, they've done a pretty nice job, and we're starting to see, some, like I mentioned, a number of unconventional categories and brands that are also, you know, creating unique venue destinations to enhance the game experience.
I mean, and so it's gone from being a nice to being a necessary. And, excuse me, as you're seeing all the clubs out there, the traditional forms, be it Facebook, Twitter, as we talked about, even a LinkedIn or something of that measure. I love you talked earlier about Flickr, you know, places where you need to be. If you're a team or a property on here, where are the places that you feel you need to be out there?
So, yeah, so Twitter and Facebook are must-haves, and it's all about devoting the right amount of resources towards those mediums, not just tweeting, you know, a couple times a day. It's really about, you know, getting, I guess, oversight and buy-in from management to really build out those channels. So when you have a Twitter channel, making sure that you're using that Twitter channel not only to support your corporate partnership efforts, but also your ticketing efforts, your community relations efforts. A number of different areas within the team can benefit from having an active social media channel. Well, I know that there's a number of leagues out there like MLB that have a number of restrictions, especially with what you can do around sponsors. There still is a lot of gray area. And if you look and benchmark a team like the San Francisco Giants, they're really pushing the mold. And I really think if you kind of just take the time or have someone in your organization take the time to monitor what some of the best teams are doing in the social media space, I think you can learn a lot and provide a lot of new value to your partners. But for properties alone, Flickr is a great place to just host all pictures of your signage. And I believe you can make it private if you don't want to make it external facing, but Learfield Sports has done a nice job of this where with their properties across the nation, they take pictures of all their signage and activation on game day and host it on one Flickr page. So it's really easy for their corporate partners to access and then new partners to also see what type of inventory is available.
I was going to ask you now, I know when you are, from your GMR standpoint position now, when you're putting negotiations and contracts together with different properties, is the social media component and what they need to do for you, is that addressed right at the table, right in the very beginning, or is that just something that's extra added on? I mean, has it really moved to the forefront where you are now stipulating as part of our deal we need the following things in the realm of social media?
Yeah, I still view it more as a value add. So we know if we're doing X programs, we, from a team standpoint, can at least get them usually to promote a lot of that through their social media channels. And the fact that a lot of teams still really haven't defined the actual value of what their social media assets, I definitely see it as kind of a gray area that could definitely still be seen as value add. But if I am a let's say, a media partner, and I do want a large presence on Twitter, and I want to try to own their page, kind of like a Danica Patrick has sold inventory on her Twitter page to Tissot, the watch company. If that was really a key emphasis of mine, I would definitely push that more towards the forefront. But for now, I still see a lot of social media as value add, unless you're working with a national property and really trying to blow out a big program through their social media channel.
Now, I would ask you, Brian, in conjunction with that question, are you finding more properties out there having people dedicated on staff to social media? I mean, are they now, you know, addressing it and staffing appropriately?
Yeah, there's a number of properties. I wouldn't say it's widespread, but there's at least, I would say, 10 to 15 teams, at least pro teams, that have full-time social media folks in place. And honestly, when I look at best practices across all the leagues, I'm looking at the San Francisco Giants, the Cleveland Indians, the New York Knicks, teams that do have those full-time folks in place, because they're really the ones that, again, have all the time of the day to connect with different departments and really push out valuable content. So I know it's really hard to justify, but as different properties look to bring in young professionals, especially on the marketing and corporate sales or corporate partnership side, it should at least be a piece of experience that they're looking at, that they need to try to find someone that can really spearhead these initiatives. So I don't think it really matters if it's an account executive or if it's a manager of corporate partnerships, but I really think that you need to have someone that has a devoted focus against it, that'll spend time against it, and has kind of the buy-in from management, you know, that they can kind of run with it, that they have some autonomy to post content.
Well, I think to that effect, I mean, I know what the pushback is from the other side, is that it's very tough to monetize this particular, as we said. I mean, we still haven't figured out the DNA to figure out how to sell, you know, banner ads or, you know, any sort of traditional tracking advertisements, if you would, on social media platforms. Certainly not like they have developed that platform in traditional media, be it radio ads, TV ads, print ads. So I know that, you know, the pushback of it is, so if you're on this call and you're asking yourself, what do I need, you know, what's the bullets in the gun that I need to be able to convince the financial people, my boss, that this is important and it's an area that we need to push towards, any words of wisdom as to how you can help them to make that argument?
And that's a little tough. So I would think maybe just 5 years ago, we were really starting to dive into the digital space and building out websites, and consumers or properties were looking at ways to monetize that. And at one time, you know, people didn't have a ton of answers outside of the advertising, which wasn't delivering, you know, huge returns. So from a social media standpoint, if you really can look to benchmark, again, what the Jets have done with their playoff model with bundling, that helps at least for driving some revenue, maybe leading up to the season or during the postseason. But again, I think it all points back to what sponsors or what your corporate partners are looking for. And, you know, everyone right now is talking about social media. So if a team doesn't really have someone devoted towards it, even if it's not generating a significant amount of dollars, again, that's almost saying that you're ignoring something that's very, very important to a lot of your corporate partners right now. So a lot of it might have to be that you have to just, you know, make the investment, the time and resources, and have a devoted person in some way, shape, or form, knowing that in time this will lead to, you know, more revenues. But again, it's something that all your corporate partners are looking for, especially in a lot of cases as value add. And so it's really important that you provide it somehow.
Now, I would agree. I mean, I think, you know, I touched on this a second ago. The more your clients are asking you to make sure this is in the component, and when you sit down at the table where you said it's still kind of in the value add realm, but I think, you know, you would admit that and you agree that in the last 3 to 4 to 5 years, it's slowly evolving into the category where, you know, you've got to have these social media components. It's expected in all of these major packages especially. And in order to do that, it's the requirement. The pressure is going to be on the properties and the clubs to be able to have somebody that's dedicated towards doing this. So like you mentioned, I mean, probably the corporate sponsor, since there's probably not a direct spend against it and it's hard to quantify that, probably the indirect reason that it'll get in this direction is because the corporate sponsors are expecting it and demanding it as part of their investment.
Correct.
Fair enough?
Yeah. And so, then for properties that are looking for, again, ways to monetize that, the Barclays Premier League, a lot of clubs, Manchester City, Chelsea, Arsenal are already doing a lot of that, finding ways to integrate corporate partners through their social media. So that might be a great place to start, just by checking out their websites and seeing different ways that they're integrating corporate partners.
You know, I was going to ask you, because we've touched on this a couple of times, so let me step on this issue here. One of the things I've noticed that GMR Marketing has done, and several of the agencies have done, is they are expanding beyond the United States and looking internationally, launching beachheads, international divisions, things of that nature, because there's a lot of things, that obviously, that we can bring from the States to them, but more importantly, there's a lot of things that they're doing in other countries that we could probably bring home to us. So having said that, when you're looking, and I know that partnership activation goes all, as we said, 65 countries out there. So you're exposed, I mean, I'm exposed mostly to things that go on in one country. You're exposed to things that are going on internationally. So as you look out there to things that are happening, and I think, you know, mobile marketing is one area I'm going to ask you to start this answer with. What are you seeing that is happening that's hot overseas that you think will eventually be migrating here to the States?
Yeah, definitely mobile marketing is probably the hottest category. I would say a lot of the Barclays Premier League teams and a lot of Euro teams are probably 3 to 5 years ahead of us from a mobile standpoint. So if you go on their sites and check out their mobile sections of their sites, you know, they already have a number of, like, 3D figures that fans can download on their phones, very, very advanced applications. So right now we're really starting just to build out applications that have stats and schedules and profiles, where a lot of theirs is advanced gaming on their application. So I would say from a mobile standpoint, they're very, very advanced. And I feel like a number of clubs, especially in the Barclays Premier League, have the partnership model right, where they have, you know, 8 to 10 core partners, and then they might have a few others sprinkled throughout. But their corporate partners that are spending against their investments are really doing a nice job of activating that retail, building out holistic campaigns that include online, on television, in stadium signage. For example, I was watching the England Switzerland match a couple days ago on Fox Soccer, and Umbro had a great campaign where they utilized their field board signage to run a Twitter promotion and drive new followers, enticing fans to check out their Twitter page by giving away free T-shirts to people that follow their Twitter page throughout the game. And so they've really just done a nice job of connecting their partnerships online, via mobile, and then through social media that I think we can learn a lot from. And then, you know, looking at a lot of the other countries around the globe, I've had a number of rugby clubs reach out looking at the U.S. for a lot of best practices, and they're really starting to grow their market, especially from a sponsorship standpoint. And so there's a lot of best practice sharing and a lot of interest in a number of countries, in New Zealand and Australia, Singapore, the whole Far East, but then even in Brazil, Nike is doing some great things with Corinthians down there, building a global fan base. And so I think that there's a lot of opportunities out there, but I really look at the Barclays Premier League as being a best in class for anything mobile related.
It's fascinating to me. You mentioned earlier in the call that you talked about being able to now take your cell phone, and you called it, I think it's altered reality is the term you used, and you can point it at a court and know, you know, what the score is, and not only that, but who's playing, and where to find food, and probably where to park, and I mean, the sophistication that is coming is just so quickly changing our landscape, and it's fascinating. Like you mentioned, I've heard that by and large, we're about 3 to 5 years behind our compatriots in abroad. So it's going to be fascinating to see this all come by here. Anything else that you have noticed mobily that is just seems to be very cutting edge for us?
No, I guess just the other thing I was going to add was, you know, with GMR, we now have 26 international offices. So we really rely on our counterparts in Australia and Germany to share a lot of best practices. And we found a lot of best practices, especially around soccer just in general, whether that's World Cup, Gold Cup, English Premier League. And so we've really started to see a number of properties again, really start to look to share ideas and get best practices. Another example out of Manchester City is they renovated two suites, one devoted to males and the other one devoted more to females, where they replicated the Heineken walk-in fridge commercial where a bunch of guys walked into a room and it was filled with Heineken. So they essentially recreated that with the suite and surprised the number of guests halfway through the season with a suite that was filled with Heineken. And they did the same thing with female consumers where they filled it with all Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and high-end items. And so they created these ultimate suites just by taking a great idea from television and applying it to the stadium atmosphere. So, again, I don't know if I have a number of other, I guess, great case studies to share from a mobile standpoint, but hopefully that just helps goes to show a number of the different areas that, you know, we're kind of sharing great ideas, you know, across the pond.
Well, I think this is great. And the one question I want to ask before I run out of time, I mean, going from what is cutting edge to really a traditional question that gets asked a lot to all of our members, and that is from the corporate sponsor side. And we really saw this kick in a couple of years ago. As budgets got tighter, the demand on coming up with the justifiable, measurable ROI increased. The pressure always consists there. You work on both the reporting side as well as on the client side. When it comes to justifying the ROI, what are some of the interesting ways that you're seeing that clubs and properties are measuring the effectiveness of their sponsorship?
Yeah, and a lot of it's changed in the past 2-3 years of the economy. A lot more procurement departments are involved, and that's made the whole partnership process with signing deals a lot tougher, but it's also forced us to become a lot smarter with our spend and really show a direct ROI. So personally speaking, with Comcast and GMR, we've worked over the last 3 to 4 months with our research and analytics team developing an extensive ROI model that analyzed 12 different partnerships that Comcast had across the country. And we looked at everything from lifetime value of customers to our sponsorship spend and all the different ways that we are activating it. And so we've really started devoting a number of resources to this because we know with the procurement departments involved and with, you know, our property partners being forced to really show measurement that this is a must-have. So we've devoted a number of resources here the past few months really starting to amp up our measurement and analytics. And from a property standpoint, I think the biggest thing at this point is really just showing effort that you're looking to measure what you're doing from an activation and property standpoint. So Comcast has a partnership with SB Nation, and we've been working with them hand-in-hand to show how we're really moving the needle to really push Comcast products through that channel. And so I think if properties can at least start by just showing a concerted effort to at least build out measurement for their programs, whether it's one or two tactics to start and then looking at the partnership as a whole, I just definitely think it's a must-have, and I think it's going to be something that agencies and properties need to work together on to really make sure that we are driving value out of the partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Now, and it's fascinating because I think that message is starting to get through. I know we still have a long way to go in getting away from just basically selling inventory to selling solutions, and I think your words will fall on very good ears and fertile ground. I mean, when it comes to, you know, how we're approaching our sponsors, especially even the first way, there, as you know, Brian, you know, they're here at the National Sports Forum. We're extremely proud to be affiliated and associated with two organizations that I know that are near and dear to you. One is GMR Marketing, and the other one is, of course, Ohio University. We work with both OU and the research division at your company, GMR Marketing, every 2 years in conducting what we call a deep dive sponsorship analysis of our own. And it's called the NSF Corporate and Industry Survey presented by GMR Marketing. And we will be doing that coming up here. It's our year for the survey coming up in Oklahoma City this coming January. So it's always a very, very popular component with our audience. And for the survey, we sit down with over 50 of the top corporate sponsors here in North America, and we ask them an assortment of different questions about how they're feeling about the effectiveness of their sponsorship, who does it right, what makes it right, what would they like to see, so on and so forth. And I, one of the last questions I want to ask you before we wrap up here is that the last question we always ask of our Nifty 50, and that is, if there were one thing that you wish that the team, event, or property, their sports sponsorship sales reps knew before they came calling on you, what would that one thing be? So as you might imagine, you know, we've asked 50 different people. We'll get 50 different answers. But once you start to analyze it and crunch it a little bit, you start coming to the analysis that they probably fall into about 6 or 7 general areas. So from your vantage point, Brian, because I know you ask this question a lot, I'd love to get your thoughts on what you think corporate sponsors wish that their sales reps knew before they came knocking on your door.
And I think the common answer to this question would be, you know, having a full understanding of my business objectives and building a proposal that directly meets those objectives, or at least showing some initiative in that area. For me, I think it's really important for properties these days to position themselves on a larger scale. So if I'm a minor league baseball team that's really traditionally positioned myself more as a local or regional brand, you know, take it up a notch and position yourself as a national brand. The same goes with national properties, so pro teams. Traditionally, the majority of NFL, MLB, NHL, and NBA teams have positioned themselves as national brands, but with social media and building global fan bases, engaging with fans on a global level, social media allows brands to, or properties to start, you know, more so positioning themselves as global brands. And so with GMR, we have clients like Visa and P&G that are really looking at everything from a global scale. And so I think it's really important that properties take another look at the way that they're positioning themselves and making sure that they're meeting at least the scale that the prospective partners are looking for. And again, with online and social media resources, a lot of properties are a lot bigger, bigger than I think they position themselves to be. And so I think that's one area that will come in time, but you know, national properties like pro teams positioning themselves more as global brands that can provide global solutions.
Got it. All right. No, I think that's excellent. And I wanted to ask you, and I hope you don't mind turning the tables on you and asking you to give our guys some information. But if there's anybody out there that is not familiar with Partnership Activation or Partnership Activation 2.0, one is a blog and one is a newsletter for the folks who are listening in, how can they get both of these publications from you?
So if they just send an email to me at newsletter@partnershipactivation.com, and include subscribe in the subject line and their contact information within, I'll automatically add them to the newsletter distribution list, which goes out once a month, usually on the 22nd of every month. And then again, Partnership Activation, it's just partnershipactivation.com. And my Twitter handle is @BrianGaynor. And again, I try to stay pretty active on there and would love to connect with any members that would like to talk about best practices or share great ideas or maybe promote some of the great things that they're doing with their organization. Hopefully I can be a resource to most of the members that are listening in on the call. But those are pretty much the key ways to follow Partnership Activation and a lot of the trends that I've been highlighting.
And your website address?
So it's www.partnershipactivation.com.
Excellent. And I guess the same question, and you might have just answered this, I think you did with your Twitter answer, but if I have a best practice that I want to run by you, you know, something that maybe we're doing that we're very proud of, that's had some great track record, and it's being received very well in the market, or it's moving the needle for our sponsors, how would I let you know about that?
Yeah, the best way is by email. And so the folks on the call could email me at bgaynor, so my first initial last name, @partnershipactivation.com, or through my email GMR email address, so bgaynor@gmrmarketing.com. And so if there's a great idea you'd like to share, I'd definitely love to check it out and then possibly, you know, hop on the phone for 5 or 10 minutes and just talk about how it's been successful and whether you have any other images you could share. And again, I'd love to do my best to help promote it either through the site of the newsletter or via Twitter. So I would encourage anyone that has anything that they would like to promote to definitely reach out and connect.
And again, that's Gaynor, G-A-I-N-O-R. So we said B Gaynor, B as in boy, Gaynor, G-A-I-N-O-R. So again, Brian, thank you so much On behalf of all of us here at the Forum and our association, our Alumni Association membership, you know, we wanted to just take this opportunity to thank you for your time and insights today, and we appreciate you letting us, you know, draw down from you. We continue to draw down from you. I certainly do want to recommend to everyone on the call that you should get both Partnership Activation and 2.0, or Partnership Activation for 2.0, as it's officially called here. We wish you great success, Brian, with that. You know, before we wrap this up, any final thoughts, comments, ideas from yourself?
No, I just say, you know, we've talked about a lot of tactics out here, but the teams that have really impressed me most when I look at the landscape as a whole, from a technology or venue destination standpoint, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the work that they've done has just been incredible at the Consol Energy Center. The New York Jets, San Francisco Giants, New York Knicks, those are all the leaders I kind of benchmark from a social media standpoint. And then ballpark experience, I had a chance to go up to the new Minnesota Twins ballpark a few weeks ago and was really, really impressed with the setup there. So, again, I'd love to connect with anyone on the phone that would, you know, like to share some of their stadium experiences or new technologies. But to date, those have really been the organizations that really stood out to me as being best in class in those respective areas.
Well, I thank you, and I'm sure they do as well. You know, just, you know, and to that point, as you look across the spectrum of the different sports, any particular league that you think in general has really distinguished themselves as, and on a national basis or even on a regional local basis, which of the sports out there you think seem to do a really good job of giving their sponsors a good bang for the buck?
Yeah, I think all the leagues do something well in their own respective way. So the NBA has done an incredible job online with building their international fan base, building out their viral content. The NFL, from a venue standpoint, the NFL experience with venue destinations and halftime promotions and everything, the NFL has really distinguished itself there. The NHL has been another from a more of a mobile and video content standpoint, I think have done a great job. So I think all the leagues do something really, really well. But bang for your buck, again, I kind of go back to the Barclays Premier League. We're talking about huge global brands with Manchester United and Liverpool and Chelsea. And I really think that those partners that are aligned with those brands are probably getting the best value these days because they're getting exposure not only in Europe, but heavy exposure in the Far East, and then also now here in the States as those teams start to play international friendly. So I would have to give it to the folks at the Barclays Premier League.
Excellent. Well, this has been an exceptional hour, Brian, and I thank you very much. And again, for all of our members, I just want to let you know that Joe will be sending out a link to you all this afternoon telling you where you can click through and download this call if you'd like. And as I mentioned earlier, it'll be available for about the next 10 days. And then after that, if you do want to get a copy of it, you can certainly reach out to Joe about this, and he'll burn you a copy of it and get it over to you. So, Brian, again, thank you so much for everything that you have done for our members. You continue to do, and we thank you for joining us on the call today, and wish you and your wife every success with the upcoming newborn.
All right. Thank you very much, Ron. Look forward to connecting here in the near future.
Excellent. And until next time, everybody, we wish you the best, and we'll talk to you soon. So long.